Welcome to the Presentation Podcast. Join us from inside the design studio where you'll hear a conversation about presentation design, strategies, tips, and tricks, running a design studio, and more. Here are your hosts from inside the design studio, Troy Collin, Nolan Hames, and Sandra Johnson.
Hi, I'm Troy Collar from TLC Creative Services, Inc., based in Southern California near sunny San Diego.
Welcome to the Presentation Podcast. I'm Sandy Johnson with Presentation Wiz in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
And I'm Nolan Hames from Nolan Hames Creative in Montclair, New Jersey.
Well, what's happening? I spent the week last week in Las Vegas in 117 to 121 degree heat, but I was at Mandalay Bay, and like most of Vegas, I never saw daylight or fresh air, so the heat was not really a factor. It was just a constant air-conditioned temperature. Things are going good with what's happening.
Well, I just got back from a trip to California, and when I told Troy I was going to be there, I think that's when he conveniently scheduled his trip to be out of town, so... Got to see Troy's wife, Lori, and see their awesome little office setup, which I'd never seen before. So they've got a great setup. But we had a little vacation. Something I'd done a while back, but just became live in the past week, was I did an interview on a podcast called the Freelance Transformation Podcast. I think we've mentioned it before, but the link will be in the show notes. So that's an interview about an hour long, all about just freelancing and sort of my perspective, and we talk about presentation, the presentation world, which is just not, again, just not known by a lot of people. They just don't know it exists.
Isn't it crazy? Yeah, people are surprised that there are people like us in the world.
On many fronts, I think.
Yes.
But it's all good. It's job security.
It is. You know,
it's easy to be a specialist in a niche that nobody specializes in.
I had posted something the other day on Facebook about how much I loved my job, and I was stunned at how many people were, first of all, didn't know what I did, and then others that were so unhappy. And I think, you know, we love what we do. I think we're in a great place. That said, I just returned from Minneapolis, where I worked with yet another exec and his and other presenters to deliver presentations at their annual meeting. And this one, too, has been 6 months in the making. It was pulled off flawlessly. I wanted to add, though, like you, Troy, I used Morph. And this particular annual meeting, they were announcing a logo change.
Ah,
so I was
very cool.
A lot of the same elements between the two logos. So I was able to rebuild their original logo, their old logo, and then transition it using Morph to their new one. It was pretty awesome.
Oh, I'll have to take a look at that. That sounds really cool. Yeah, there's so many cool things you can do.
Did you find After Effects needed?
No After Effects needed.
I think we have a demo. I'm second guessing myself now. One of my designers is an After Effects designer, and they did a text, 2D motion text After Effects thing, and then recreated the exact same thing using Morph only. So it's like After Effects Morph.
Yeah.
Which one was it? And now that I'm second guessing, I'm not sure that post has gone live yet. But it's cool. It's amazing some of the stuff you can do. It'll show up. I actually think it's pre-scheduled for another time period.
Got it.
It just didn't fit into the topics that we're doing this month, which was all about PowerPoint add-ins. Was all of June, and now July's moving into a new topic. Anyways, things are great. Things are happening.
All right, so let's talk about some news. On the financial news front, Microsoft purchased LinkedIn for $26 billion. What does that mean for PowerPoint and Microsoft Office? We're not really sure, but there was a hint given by Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella in a briefing that included a slide. Yes, a slide. With LinkedIn in the center, with arms extending out to various Microsoft properties, including PowerPoint. So a use case that's been proposed would be if you're working on a presentation about some topic or a Word document or something, let's say electric cars, from within PowerPoint, you could potentially search and connect with an expert on that topic via LinkedIn, or maybe even be able to reach out for help with PowerPoint itself. So there may be someday a LinkedIn tab in PowerPoint with a little Sandy and Troy button that people can just hit, and they can bug you in real time when they can't figure out why slide number formatting is all messed up.
Also Microsoft News, and this is more, again, I love IT and I love the just infrastructure of things, but Microsoft released a couple of things. They released their new server operating system, Server 2016, but the new one, Server 2016, it's very interwoven with the online services, Office 365, and so things that SharePoint used to be standalone are now very cloud-based. As a matter of fact, the push is just to move your entire server operations to the cloud. But the thing that got me really excited was that along with the release of that, they also released a new SharePoint app, at least for the iOS. I'm assuming it's on Microsoft Mobile, and I know it's coming to the Android. What it does, it may not be a big deal for a lot of listeners, but if you use Office 365 and you use SharePoint or OneNote, or you have a team setting where you're using, help me out here, Skype for Business, mm-hmm. they're the instant messaging. It's kind of a one-click window into all of those. So, you know, Skype on the iPhone, easy. If you want to click and open the app, and then you have to, you know, kind of get into the app, and you have to drill in, find the person, then type the name and, you know, type your message. It was just a lot of clicks. I'm kind of excited about it, if you can't tell. I think it's going to be really cool.
Oh, well, no, I was just, similarly, iOS users of Dropbox are now able to create and edit Word, Excel, and PowerPoint PowerPoint files directly in the app. Well, and then I also wanted to add that the Presenters Network is going to hold their annual New York event on July 19. And if you want to attend, you can register via the Presentation Guild site. So that's presentationguild.org, and because the Guild is sponsoring that event. If you wish to attend, you can get a discount. And all you have to do is use the code PresentationGuildGuest for that discount.
And in addition to a few other speakers, I'll be speaking on some new features, or at least features that have come out in the last year that people may not know about in PowerPoint.
You could add that text highlighter tool.
Yeah, that's a newsworthy item. Is it Microsoft, if you're on the early adopters, what's it called now?
Fast Insider.
Thank you, the Fast Insider. They've released a highlighter tool like we've had in Word for years, but now it's in PowerPoint, so you can highlight all those words. Sandy, that'd be huge for you, right?
Oh my gosh, in the legal world, it's huge.
Okay, so there it is, news that's happening that we've kind of taken note of, and let's talk topic. Okay, the 4th of July weekend is officially the height of summer, at least here in the States, and we have a bit more relaxed episode to go with kind of the mellow summer attitude. I am in my home office wearing shorts and a t-shirt, and it is summertime, so the air conditioning's on. We are talking about our design studios, so we invite you into our studios for a chat and a tour.
Okay, to start things, let's talk about where you spend most of your time, which I'm guessing is at your desk. Describe your desks.
Yeah, spend lots of time. And the problem is I have like multiple desks. I have a home office desk, I have a design studio desk, and I have ballroom table desks wherever I go. But mm-hmm. my home office and my design studio are both set up with IKEA curved desk systems. They're really awesome because they're modular, and we got to, you know, everything's outfitted with them. They're nice and easy to work with. But my business partner and wife and I share a curved desk scenario. So we each have our 24-inch dual monitors, you know, Microsoft keyboard, mouse, Logitech webcams. We did get the Herman Miller mesh chairs, which I can't think of the Aaron chairs for here at our home office. We have similar ones scattered all over the studio. So everything has a place, but there seems to always be a few piles of stuff on my spaces.
My desk is a bit of a pile of stuff. I'm still in transition after a move about a year and a half ago. So I've got the plans. I've got the carpenter for a beautiful built-in 10-foot long desk, hardwood slab. I've been to the lumber yard, but we just haven't pulled the trigger yet. And ultimately, we're going to have to haul it up through the window on a third floor. So not looking forward to that. But currently, so I'm on a long folding card table that faces the window to my backyard. I've got a human scale freedom chair I never liked the Herman Millers for some reason, but I like the human scale.
You don't like all the knobs and doohickeys on there, I think.
Exactly. So the human scale, there's none of that. It's all just with your body, kind of wherever your body moves, it goes with it. Indeed. So it's simple. I've got a 5K iMac. I've got a second older 27-inch iMac to the right, which is just sort of used as a second monitor right now. Wired Apple keyboard, because I hate the wireless ones. They're just too small, and they don't have the number keypad.
Yep.
Intuos tablet, a couple of printers under my desk, podcasting mic on a boom, USB hub with about, always seems like 18 things plugged into it. And that's my setup.
Well, I have a very traditional furniture like office. Maybe it's because I'm a girl. I don't know. But it's
I can kind of imagine that.
Yeah,
I
sure
I mean, like a grown-up setup?
Yeah, it's grown-up. It's I think it's 66 inches. It's a traditional transitional desk with the hutch and the return, you know, that L return kind of thing. So I have a lot of surface space. It's antique black and with stained desk surfaces. And because I can't stand anything on my surface, I have tons of storage, a drawer for my keyboard. It comes with hidden outlets and USB ports. It's seriously, this was built for me. When I found this, I was so excited. And it's perfect because I hate having wires showing. They're messy and distracting, uncreative. And I too have the Herman Miller mesh chair, which is still one of the best purchases, I have to say, that I've ever made. It saved my back.
I think any quality chair is worth its, if you're sitting at your desk so much, like most of us are, it just is amazing. And I can say that because I sit in ballrooms on, you know, banquet chairs for like weeks on end. And then I come back and go, oh, this is what my body's supposed to feel like when it sits.
Do you know what I do too is if I've sat too much in a particular day, I'll just move out to my kitchen with my laptop and stand at the countertop. It's the perfect height for me. So I guess I have a second desk. It's my kitchen.
So none of us have gone for those standing desks, which I'm seeing everywhere now in offices.
You know what? Right. I sold my, I had a desk treadmill for a year and a half.
Really?
Yes. And I have to say, I limited the use. Well, I had to, because you can't design while you're running. It just doesn't work. but I did walk with it, and I would do my social media on it, things that didn't require a lot of attention to detail, but all
that's like multitasking too much.
It is. It didn't work. And I was able to sell it pretty quickly.
Okay. Do you think it's been sold again by whoever bought it?
Exactly. Probably. Do you know why I sold it? I didn't like how it looked in my office. Surprise, surprise.
Well, beyond the desk, what is your workspace like? I mean, what's all around you?
Most of my office is orange and white. It's about half and half. I've got all these weird angled walls because it's a finished attic. It's an old house, so all these really cool angles with various walls that are orange. I have a dog and two cats that usually at my feet or on my couch next to my desk. I've got, in the winter, I've got my racing bike on my trainer, although it's warm now, so I can go outside on that. I have a print of Menard's famous Napoleon graphic on one side. The data visualization people will understand what that is. And on the other side, I have a cartoon trashing PowerPoint. So I think between the two of those, I've got things covered. I have a vintage Sideshow poster.
Cool.
And a painting by my mother. But other than that, not too much stuff on the walls because most of the walls are angled in. So I don't have too much wall space.
Well, that's what I'm surrounded with. I have original art. Whenever we go on vacation, wherever we travel, we buy local artwork. So it ranges from paintings, pottery, but cool things. I mean, don't think big, ugly things. They're really cool. So
nice.
Yeah, that's what I have surrounded myself with.
That is, you know, the big bronze statue with the formal desk. It just, you know, the Midwest mansion with
little
the white columns. It's all coming together now. I
no,
see it.
It's a little tasteful bronze statue.
I actually have what looks like a bronze bust on a bookshelf behind me, but it's actually made of foam rubber.
Yeah.
It's from the very last production I directed. I used to be a theater director. That's a whole other story. I used to be a theater director, and that was a prop in the last show that I directed.
What is it? What? It's a bronze.
It's a bust of Shakespeare.
Of Shakespeare.
It's a bust of Shakespeare.
Okay.
And at first glance, it looks heavy bronze, but you pick it up and it's foam rubber because it was thrown at an actor on stage.
Oh, that's hilarious. That's hilarious. You know what? I do have my MVP.
Oh, yeah. I got that too with your.
Oh, the one with the little rings for each year you've been MVP award?
Yeah. What's that called? Award. I guess it's an award.
It's the award.
Yeah.
So I have kind of three, but I'm just going to talk about my home office and my design studio because show site stuff, you can look online and find pictures of me hanging out behind computer monitors in uncomfortable chairs. But so what else is around me? Lots of stuff. We definitely built everything with lots of cabinetry, so everything gets tucked away. But in addition to multiple, you know, screens, I always have a spot for my Surface computer is out. My iPad is usually out and things like that. We have at home a single dog and she's not allowed upstairs and my home office is upstairs. So she hangs out right downstairs on the nice cool tile looking really smart dog. She looks in this giant mirror we have and can from the downstairs, we didn't figure out for a long time, she can look upstairs without looking, you know, looking up the stairs. She just looks in this mirror and she can see the angle. So it's kind of a funny thing. So we can always see our dog. She's hanging out at the bottom of the stairs. So in addition, we're just kind of surrounded by lots of stuff. At the office, we have a very large open format. So everybody's like in a giant design bullpen. It's kind of two separate areas. Lori and I have the only closed office door. There's only three closed areas in the whole design studio. One is for Lori and I, and that's just so we can get on conference calls and business calls and talk finance. The other one is the break room area, which is a whole nother story, but that's a closed off area. And the third one is the kind of what we call the back office. It's where our IT person hangs out, our project coordinator who's on the phone a lot. So it's a big open area and we've got a lot of inspiration around. We've made it very light, a lot of windows, a lot of, it's nice tan color, so it's very airy, but we have just a lot of our projects around. One of the first things Lori did was put in big black framed frames, and we filled them with different photos of inspirational things. They kind of change seasonally, so it's really fun. In addition, I have just lots of toys and tchotchke stuff. You know, I need to know how to spell tchotchke for the show notes because I have no idea.
There's a Z in there.
You know, just little knickknacks of fun stuff around, a lot of lanyards and name badges, and including, I have the whole wall of the MVP certificates up above my, kind of behind my desk area. And my studio is kind of surrounded by sound insulation foam. So the whole, it's kind of got this black tone going against all the nice bright stuff for noise dampening so I can do these recordings.
Nice. Do you have any special lighting? You know, how's your work area and your desk illuminated?
I have overhead recessed lighting.
We have recessed lighting, the can lights, both in the home office area and the design studio everywhere. In fact, I was looking at these when we built out the office, what is that now, 3 years ago? Oh, maybe it's even more than that. We're looking at these great lights. They're indirect. So what they do is they're long troughs, and they shoot the light up to the ceiling, and then it bounces off. But, you know, it kind of creates this really overall, you know, continuous light area. And I was really excited about them until we got down to the fact that I would need about 23 fixtures to cover the office area, and each fixture was about $450. It's like, huh, this may not – that doesn't even include, like, the contractor to do all the work. So we went with can lighting. There is there's a lot of them there. And now we're using I found these bright white, not the soft light, which they say is a natural light, but I think it's more yellowy. We have these bright 100 watt LED bulbs that are just awesome because they're, you know, the recessed lighting is in these bright white cones, so it just creates a super nice lighting throughout. So it's all recessed lighting, kind of like Nolan was saying, just a bigger explanation. But I like a bright area. I don't like any glare directly on the screen. So the big overhead lighting kind of helps that because there's no directional to them. It's kind of the opposite of my workspace when I'm backstage on the road. Maybe that's why I like it so much too, because, you know, I'm always stuck in the dark backstage area with a bunch of little USB lights around me. And when I go into my offices, they're just super bright.
My lighting is, you know, I certainly could do better. My old office was so bright and beautiful. I loved the natural light. Here, I have a big window, but it faces north, so there's not a lot there. I have a single overhead light and some built-in accent lighting on my desk, but there's nothing really functional. Yeah, I certainly could improve in that way. And speaking of glare, the way my office is set up, because it's a small bedroom converted to an office, I do have some glare on my monitor that I just can't stand.
You know, what we did throughout the design studio is it's surrounded by windows. Nolan, did you get that sense when you came in? It's just...
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
We loved it. None of the windows open. That was like a huge deal. We're like, what do you mean none of them? There's windows everywhere, but none of them open.
Interesting.
But we put a... hold on, really quick on that. So, Sandy, this may be a good tip. Mm-hmm. So the one thing we did do, because there was glare anywhere, because it's you know, windows everywhere, we put a 15% window tint on it, but it's a non-glare, so it kind of diffuses the light as it comes in.
Okay.
It solved a ton of glare issues, because I was really worried about it, because, well, everybody kind of faces into the window, so it's not directly... Nobody's sitting with a window to their back. But yeah, this really, really cool window tinting we had, you know, as a professional window tint company came out and did it, but they called it a 15% low glare window tint. It didn't really do much for the, you know, didn't darken the light that much, but the amount of glare is
okay.
Really...
That's
yeah. We did that at a previous office. We moved into a new building and okay. The windows were huge and it took a month to convince HR to do it, but
okay.
It really made a difference.
Done.
Well, everyone has fun novelty items on their desk. Nolan has a bust of Shakespeare that I've already heard about. But, you know, around your office space, what are a few of the things that each of us sees when we're just sitting at our computer? You know, you kind of turn and you go, oh, look at that. I need a distraction, and that gives it to me.
I have a collection of Japanese mascot little charms. This is apparently a thing in Japan. Even though I've never been, people have brought them back for me. Every city in Japan has its own mascot, mm-hmm. and they are crazy. And so they come on little keychains, so I have a whole line of those. And I also have some juggling balls to blow off some steam every once in a while.
Cool.
Are those soft-sided juggling balls, or are you like really showing that you're the expert?
I actually have two sets. One are bean bags, and one are something called Exer balls, which are rubber, but they're filled with lead shot. So they actually give your arms a workout.
Well, I have a framed gift of Chinese characters that from a friend that supposedly says PowerPoint in Chinese. I have a marble obelisk. I just think it's beautiful. I have a magic eight ball and a giant clothespin.
Clothespin?
Yes. It's just a really cool oversized, it's really neat. I also have a photo of my husband and me standing in front of the Golden Gate Bridge. It was the inspiration for all of our, whenever we travel now, we try to get a photo of us in front of major landmarks.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So that's where I am. How about
you? I
wish
I could be sentimental and have cool things like an obelisk, but I probably have more toys than tech work items around my workspace. One, because they're just fun and I want to have fun. And second, because Mattel Toys, the largest toy manufacturer in the world, is our second longest running presentation design client. So you just end up with a lot of fun toys when you work with the world's largest toy company. You know,
yeah.
Maker of Hot Wheels, Barbie, lots of Disney and action hero movie properties, which is a lot of the fun stuff we work on. And then those lead to connections with those companies as well. So I would say I have... a very cool, some would say large, collection of Hot Wheels cars. They're all in package on shelves and on my walls, and a lot of them are, you know, specialty ones that are only available when you work at Mattel. So those are always fun and inspirational. Side trivia, Hot Wheels was launched the same year I was born. So if anybody wants to do their research, they can figure things out. But so I have an affinity for Hot Wheels. I always get all their t-shirts, you know, 25th anniversary and onward. So other things are, I have the little BB-8 robot from the new Star Wars relaunch.
Cool.
The little iPhone remote robot on my desk, and he's kind of fun to play with. And when I do plug him in to the USB power, because I finally stopped doing it, he just kind of occasionally like blips and beeps and kind of spins in his little holder just randomly. And it got to be just a little too distracting, so I finally unplugged him from that. My wife has really gotten into crochet over just for fun. It's a lot of times we're on flights going to different projects. So I have these little crochet monsters from her, which are awesome. We just have toys and fun stuff to look at. Photos of my kids, badges, and, you know, lanyards from different shows. But fun, distracting stuff.
So what's your typical workday schedule?
What do you do?
What do I do? I get up about 7. Clean up around the house while my wife is getting ready for work, read some emails, do a little work occasionally. Once she's gone, I usually hop on my bike for a half hour, an hour, or go to the gym and swim. Always manage to take, and eventually I get to get to work. But I always take breaks in the middle of the day to, you know, mow the lawn, go for a swim. But I basically, what I'm saying is I have no scheduled work hours. You know, if I've got a deadline or whatever, I'll, you know, be on the computer immediately. But if not, I'll sort of gradually get to the office, you know, 9:30, 10 or so. But because of that, since I can sort of choose what hours I want to work, there are times where I'll work late in the evening, I'll work over the weekend. But I like that sort of flexibility. I don't have those really hard office hours that a
awesome.
Lot of people like.
Or get forced on them. Well, they don't always like
exactly. It. Yeah, actually, more appropriately.
And that's why we love what we do. We do have that flexibility. But knowing that, I stick to a pretty strict 8-to-5 workday. And that's because with the kids out of the home right now, it's my husband and me. And the last thing I want to be doing is slaving away in an office after 5 o'clock and my husband sitting there doing whatever he is. So we spend the evenings together, but I will work on weekends to get caught up. I typically start, if I'm not traveling, it's the 8-to-5 work day. I typically wake up around 7. I'll run. On the days that I run, I'm running at 7 o'clock. Otherwise, I use that hour from 7 to 8 to kind of ease into the day with coffee. Look at my garden, that kind of thing.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. What else? So typical day, drinking coffee, getting up, social media. What you mm-hmm. travel a fair amount, I know.
I do. Yep. But what I use that when I'm traveling. I have a project leader, and I think you know that. So she helps me keep within that 8-to-5 time frame. She takes on administrative responsibilities and manages subcontractors. So I keep that stuff moving. I know you have your office environment. She helps me stay very, very virtual and manage multiple people.
That's awesome. It really is. Because I hate to say it, but you know, a day has 24 hours, and my work schedule can involve any of those hours. Mm-hmm. And that's when I'm at home, you know, traveling, it's whatever is needed. You know, I will work on a project to whatever is, you know, requested just to make sure things go off well. Cause you know, it's a live event. You only get one shot at it. My ideal day is to get up and see my girls off to school at 7 a.m. But starting this year, that's going to change because I only have one girl at home, and she's our high schooler. So it'll be the same thing. I'll wake up and do breakfast and little things around the house after seeing her off, and probably text my other two beautiful daughters and see what they're up to at college. I'll go into the office around 9 a.m. The office does open up at 7 a.m. We're on almost everybody in the office on a 4 10-hour days. So they come in and, you know, so we're 7 a.m. to 5:30 for an office environment. But, you know, I like to go in around 9, give everybody a chance to get their stuff done. I'll check email here at the home.
So your employees are on 4 10-hour days instead of 5 days a week?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do they rotate that? Is it so there's...
Well, we're kind of flexible. During the summertime when you know, kids are out of school, a couple of designers have kids, you know, we vary their schedule so they get more time either in the morning or the evening with their kids. But yeah, so it's a 40-hour work week. So we have a group that's in basically Monday through Thursday, and then a couple of them are in on Mondays and Fridays are the fluctuation days. So on Mondays, we have the Monday through Thursday team in. And on Fridays, we have the Tuesday through Friday team in. But yeah, so it's kind of a neat thing that's evolved. It's, I don't know how it works state to state, but California, you can do what they call it, 10 fours. So four.
Oh, huh? That's great.
And it works out great. I don't adhere to that because I adhere to the I will do what takes. But I like to get
you,
in
you adhere
nine.
To the I own a business model?
Yeah. I get in around whatever 9 generally, and then I try and head home around 4 to enjoy some of the afternoon sun and time with my wife and kids and dog. And I generally head back to the computer in the late evenings to, you know, review projects, return emails, kind of organize projects for the next day, and asleep by midnight.
You know, in this interview I recently did, this freelance transformation all about freelancing, I kind of got taken to task for this, the concept of a 24/7 work schedule. Mm-hmm. And there, I don't know, at least at least the guy I was talking to, seemed very into the fact of being able to turn off at 5 or 6 p.m. and not have your emails, inboxes combined, and work is work, and, you know, life is life. But I find I have so far much more freedom when I do combine them as opposed to the other way around. And then
you're
on top
right.
of it, when you own a business, you're responsible. So there's nobody else there.
Well, and don't get me wrong. I work 8 to 5, but that doesn't mean I don't work after 5 or before 8. It's that flexibility that takes the stress off. If I can't get it done in a given typical day, then I know I have to stay a little bit longer. And my husband understands. It's just the nature of what we do.
And when I had a 9 to 5, it was far from 9 to 5.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, always on call.
Yeah, always. Well, so outside of the work schedule, what are you guys doing this summer?
I just got back from a little Northeast road trip for my wife's birthday. We went to Niagara Falls, which I'd never been to. Did the Finger Lakes and Hudson Valley and a lot. So we crammed a lot into just about 4 days. Every night we were in a different place. We don't do too much travel in July, just because I'm getting set for a triathlon at the end of July in New York. So I'll be home for the few weeks before that. Later on, I've got a training in Minneapolis. And
when are you in Minneapolis?
I am August 3rd, I think.
Okay, I don't think I'm there.
You're not gonna be there.
Okay, but if I end up being there, we should get together.
Yeah, absolutely. It is one of those in and out. You know,
okay, yeah,
SWAT team things, but yes. I could get together for dinner if you're going to be there, and I might get to another baseball stadium. I have 5 left on my bucket list, so I might take another trip to one of them.
Hey, I want to know which 5 you have left.
The two in Texas, mm-hmm. Seattle, Arizona, and Atlanta. But
okay.
I'm gonna wait till next year on Atlanta because they're getting a new stadium.
Nice.
So I want to see the new one.
Does it have to be a baseball game going on to go there?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Because I had actually been, we were all in an event overlooking Petco Park in San Diego a few years ago, but that didn't count. So I had to check off San Diego just a couple weeks ago when I was out there visiting family.
Have you been to the MVP Summit when they do the evening event at the Seattle Stadium that I can't think of the name of?
I have not, because I'm only, I've only been there a couple years.
Oh, they do one of their big hosted forced fun events in the stadium. You get down to it's really fun. So
did you just say forced? You said forced fun?
Well, you did.
That's a corporate show.
Kind of awesome.
I can't remember the name of the stadium either. It used to be Quest or.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways.
I can't remember.
So as a family, we do 2 things each summer. First, we usually go down to the beach for a few camping trips in our trailer and, you know, just do kayaking and paddle boarding and different things throughout the summer. But the big one is, you know, just living at the beach for a little while. The second one, and I think we started this, I was trying to think about the age of my kids. So we actually started this about 6 years ago. We as a family spend a week in a different city being a tourist. So we did a couple of years ago, New York, where we had dinner with Nolan and his lovely wife one evening. Chicago, San Francisco, Orlando. This summer, the plan was to do actually 2 cities, Seattle and Vancouver, because they're, you know, close enough together. But we're not sure it's going to come together. Mm. This whole children getting older thing is really starting to affect us. Our daughter's not coming home for the summer. She's busy with a job up at the college, as well as doing orientations throughout the summer for incoming college students. And our other daughter is actually going to Germany over the time we're going to do a family trip. So, I mean, she's getting this great trip of it. So we're trying to figure out if we're going to get our standard one in it. And it's just fun to be a tourist in a city. I mean, like complete tourists. We buy the city pass and we go to do everything we can. So that's kind of our big summer events.
Cool. You know, I'm going to go to Fenway Park on Friday.
Great. We're spending stadium.
Yep. That's my first time ever there. We'll be spending the 4th over the whole weekend in Boston. So part of their Boston Harbor Days. My 2 youngest children are going to be there with us.
Oh,
we're
fantastic.
Visiting. Yeah, we've got some friends from Germany that are coming in. So that'll be really cool. I'm going to be going to Montana to see my parents and siblings. July, August, if we haven't picked that date yet. And then Nebraska to see my oldest and her family. And we're seeing my middle daughter off to Japan at the end of July. She'll be spending her third year. This time she's she was there in high school. She was there in college. Now she's finally, as a graduate into the real world, she's got a job set up, and she'll be moving there in the end of July.
Okay, back to summertime. Favorite summertime food. Everybody's got to have a summertime food that they love.
Mm-hmm. And my husband grills the best steaks and chicken ever. You guys, if you're ever here, he will knock your socks off. It's better than any other steak I've ever eaten. And we spend a lot of time on our... It is a challenge. You've got to try it. And of course, we enjoy that outside. We have a patio. We're surrounded by woods. So it's like being in our own little state park.
Outdoor. Yeah. I'm an outdoor grill guy for all summer. I mean, I do grill all year round because, you know, we don't really have snow or weather.
you brag about that every opportunity you get.
Yeah, I really enjoy our outdoor kitchen and just the flavors of fresh grilled vegetables. You know, steak, flatbread are perfect summertime foods. I just did my first, now I guess this would be my second batch of sangria. So we were enjoying that last night. It was really,
wow,
just kind of a summertime type of thing. I know that Nolan is great at the grill. Got to experience that. He does a very mean steak. It's very good, Sandy. Okay. It might be competition.
Okay.
Grill off.
Yeah, that was really fun. But I'm kind of, you know, with this whole backyard landscaping remodel thing, I'm kind of, it's summertime and I can't get to my grill. Actually, the guys are rebuilding part of my grill island. They're putting more storage into it for me. I haven't been able to actually access my grill for a couple of weeks now, and next week is the first time I'll be able to take over again. So very excited.
As you said, I do grill a lot. I like grilling bread. It's the one I bake bread, but I also grill it. And, we grill it with some rosemary on the grill, and it's kind of awesome. It's like crack.
So summertime, I mean, we do lots of food anyways, but summertime there's just a lot of good stuff, and we have a really great neighborhood. We do a lot of, family, a lot of friends, a lot of neighbors coming over, and we kind of share. My neighbor and I have had an ongoing thing where I'll at one point go buy those huge Fred Flintstone size rack of ribs, mm-hmm. and I talk to the butcher that we work with, and he'll let us know when they're going on promo, and I'll buy like a bunch of those, and we'll kind of have a little grill off among the neighborhood. So, you know, I'll kind of hand them out, and then we'll have a big family gathering where everybody grills them on their grill, and then we all get together and hang out by one of the pools around the neighborhood and eat those. And so, yeah, it's fun. So, you know, food and community kind of go together during the summertime. So I know we've mentioned it before, but what brand, so I'm kind of taking us out of the summertime fun, but what brand of, back to the work part of the whole program, what brand of computer do you use, and is it a laptop or a desktop? Just more for general knowledge.
Sure. I've got a few of them. I've got two 27-inch iMacs. One's a 5K, and the other's just used as a separate screen. It's older. I have a MacBook Air, usually right next to me as well. And I have a fairly new Surface Book that I know Sandy loves, but I have really not had too much of a chance to play with.
Okay.
It's there. It's there on the desk.
Yeah, it's there. It's there when you need it. I work mostly from a 34-inch diagonal curved HP Envy all-in-one desktop PC and a Surface Book.
34-inch?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like what TVs used to be.
I know. It's awesome. I have three screens open at once. I don't have a second monitor anymore. It's all on a single monitor.
Didn't your mother yell at you when you were a kid to not sit so close to the TV? Now you're like right up next to this 34-inch monster.
Yes, I know. So talking of health, maybe that's not the right thing to do, but I do love it. I really do. I use my Surface Book a lot for all of my meetings. I don't use the phone anymore for meetings. It's always done with my Surface Book, including these podcasts. I'm doing my podcast from that. And of course, it's with me when I travel. I also have a MacBook Pro. I use that mostly and ironically to run PowerPoint 2010 on a virtual machine.
So I use a laptop as my main production computer. It's a Lenovo W530. And the reason I went with that is when the W500 series came out from Lenovo, it was really geared towards two things. One, high-end graphics use or desktop power, I guess you'd say. And it was designed more like a MacBook Pro. It has, alloy casing. It's just really built well. The new series, I'm not endorsing. So we've stopped at the W530. The W540 and the W550, they kind of became all plastic, and the new trackpad thing kind of tried to be like a MacBook, but man, it's a failure in my opinion. So I'm still using the W530. As most of our designers that are on a laptop use it because it has a docking station, a true docking station. So when you're at the studio or my home office, you know, just come, you come in, sit down, click in the laptop, it stays closed. So it's more like working on a desktop, you know, dual monitors. So everybody has dual 24 to 25 inch monitors. So I'm joking about your 34 inch monitor. Mm-hmm. It's just a big single monitor, but
yeah,
you know, everybody has this span of two
right.
very large or good size monitors side by side, you know, dual monitors, full size keyboard, mouse. You know, for me, I have a Wacom tablet. Everybody has some great speakers, webcam, and just everything else. So the laptop really gives us the best of both worlds at this point. We also pulled the CD drive out of them. Because nobody uses those anymore, and slid into that bay a secondary drive. So all of the laptops have a 1 terabyte data drive and then an SSD drive, you know, usually a 250 to 750 gigabyte SSD drive for the operating system and apps and stuff like that. So that's I also have a Microsoft Surface that I use a lot, sticking with the second generation just for the smaller size. I just recently switched out my iPad for the new iPad 4 mini. It's an iPad mini, whatever the latest generation of that is. And I just like that size. I'm suddenly using my iPad much more than I used to. So those are my main work computers. And then, you know, there's the fleet of computers at the office. We have a couple of Mac desktops, a couple of Windows desktops. They just kind of hold all those software and testing environments. So I have access to everything through remote desktop, so I can get to virtually anything.
So you use the iPad mini. I switched from the regular iPad to the iPad mini, and I love that. Do you have any other tablets that you're using, or do you just stick to the iPad?
I've got a Wacom tablet, but I do have an iPad Air that I've had for a long time, and I feel like it still holds up. Like, I've never felt the need to get a newer one, but I just don't use it that often. Maybe that's why. I'll use it to show my portfolio in client meetings, but often it's mounted on a tripod, so I can watch Netflix or HBO while I'm on my bike. I actually have also used it when I do speech coaching. We actually use it as a camera. Instead of bringing in a real camera, we just put it on the tripod and we have instant playback on it. And you can just forward back and forth. It's really great as a playback camera.
Well, thank you for joining us in our design studios. We each have our own unique setup, our own schedules. We each enjoy working where we have set things up and hope you not only have a great setup, but enjoy the summertime weather and activities. Okay, it's summertime, but we still have some very cool pro tips. And I'm just going to kick it off because we talked about iPads and tablets. You know, one of the things I didn't talk about is I have an app called iPad Duet. And I want to give credit to Glenna Ellen or Rick Bretschneider for recommending this. I wish I could remember who. But what it is, it takes your iPad and turns it into a second monitor, an extended monitor. Now, I've used ones in the past that were Wi-Fi enabled. This is by the cable. So, and it works on a Windows computer and a Mac, which is the keys to this. So there's two keys. One is it works on Windows, and the second is it's cabled. So you don't need a Wi-Fi and there's no lag. It is, in terms of iPad apps, probably a little more expensive, and it is like $10. But I can plug in my iPad, and it becomes my secondary monitor when I'm on the road. It works great with a Surface because, you know, Surface doesn't have a giant screen area, but you can plug it in and end up with a second monitor. And I love working on two monitors because it's so much more productive, especially when you're doing presentation design. You have your edit environment on the left screen, your main computer, and you're in show mode on the right computer, and you can see updates live as you go through it. So yeah, iPad app called Duet. We'll have a link to it, but that is definitely a pro tip, and it works really well. Very happy with it.
I am going to remember that for when I'm on the road. That's fabulous. My pro tip is the personal OneDrive. I am surprised at how many people don't know what's out there. And I do have OneDrive for business, But I find that the personal version is much easier to use, and it's indispensable for travel. And since I operate my business virtually, my project leader, my business partner, all have instant access to PresentationWiz activity.
Cool. My pro tip is putting an Excel table in PowerPoint. You guys know this, but a lot of people don't realize that when you take an Excel table from Excel into PowerPoint, you have a few options, and very often people will just paste, and the default will automatically convert that to a PowerPoint template or a PowerPoint table, which is fine, but in some cases you lose a lot of formatting, and you're also going to lose your ability to do anything with that table, such as sorting or, you know, changing a number and having the sums change. So what you can do is you can paste special as a Microsoft Work object. And this is similar to inserting a chart, embedding a chart. When you paste an Excel table or a series of cells as a Microsoft Work object, it embeds those cells. Later on, if you ever want to make an edit, you can double click and it will open up Excel and you can make, you know, change your number and the sums, you know, readjust, and then you close it down and there's your table. The downside is you can only do your table editing in Excel. So if you want to change a color or something, you have to double click it, launch Excel, make the change, close it down again. Whereas if you had converted to PowerPoint, you can just do it all within PowerPoint. But if you want much more powerful tables and use things like spark lines and conditional formatting, the way to do it is definitely through pasting as a Microsoft Work object.
That's a great tip. So let's continue with our summer theme. And instead of our standard tech tips, let's make some suggestions about outdoor summer items.
That's fun. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll start.
Go first. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So we just gel stained our metal garage doors.
I've seen photos of this on Facebook. Unfortunately, my wife's envious.
Oh my gosh, for less than $100. And I'm all about using the real thing. I, for example, I don't like fake fences. I want wooden fences. I don't like those plastic fences people use, but they look like wood. I kid you not. It's just beautiful. I'm really pleased with it.
Wow. I'm impressed.
For me, summertime outdoor fun, it would be a toss up between my mountain bike, which has I would love to do more. And every summer, except for this summer, it's been one of my top activities. So it's really one of my top things, and kind of the outdoor kitchen grill area. You know, this summer, because we're just finishing that major backyard landscaping redo, I'm going to be at the grill nonstop because we're going to be entertaining friends and family and just enjoying the whole thing.
My summer tip, is lighting related. I love those Costco string lights that you can find. They're like 50, 60 bucks. A lot of people have them. They're incredible. Backyard lights, they're like these old fashioned looking bulbs. So go for those. But also we have these, things called console solar jars in our backyard. They're glass mason jars with a special top that has a solar cell on it, an LED lights underneath it, and a little magnetic switch. So it charges during the day, and then you flip the magnetic switch and it glows at night, and you can put stuff in the jars. We have some stuff in there. But we saw these in Africa when we were over there last summer, and they were made locally by sort of a small collective in South Africa. And we looked them up online when we got home and bought them, and they're great. You can find kind of knockoffs on Amazon. They don't look as well made, so try to get the real stuff.
So how do you find them?
We'll put a link in the
Oh, that would be awesome. Yeah.
So you can buy them directly from them. I think you can also buy them through other stores, but we felt really good. They're all handmade in South Africa, and
I'll have to check those out.
Yeah.
So the Costco string light things you mentioned, it's really funny because that's what we're having done today, actually. The contractors show up. They're putting in all the posts supports for our big sunshades. And Lori's very excited because we bought a whole bunch of those Costco string. They're the ones that are like the old big round bulbs. Yeah.
They're fantastic.
We bought a whole bunch of those. So we're really excited to have be able to hang those and, make use of those. So, yeah, we're following in Nolan's footsteps.
Yes, we are. I'm going to copy Nolan's footsteps.
But we might check out the mason jar things just because you said you put other things in them, like
marbles or flowers or water, like anything. They're,
oh, I was expecting different things.
Oh, you can put anything you
I
want,
won't but. Say anything more. Okay, that's awesome. Summertime, it's fun, enjoy. It's going to be a great, great season. This is Troy from TLC Creative Services, design studio team focused on presentation design. If you're looking for presentation messaging and design or show site graphics ops that are real presentation designers, check us out at www.tlccreative.com and the PowerPoint blog, now in its 8th year, www.thepowerpointblog.com.
This is Nolan Hames from Nolan Hames Creative. Check out my blog, presentyourstory.com. You can subscribe for lots of free downloads and goodies. And if your organization is interested in presentation or data visualization training, drop me a line.
And I'm Sandy Johnson with Presentation Whiz. You can visit my website at presentationwhiz.biz and my blog at pptwhizblog. Or just search for Sandra Johnson PowerPoint in your web browser and you'll learn all kinds of things about me.
For today's episode, show notes, links, and more, visit us at our website, thepresentationpodcast.com. The Presentation Podcast is produced by TLC Creative Services, Inc. Subscribe at the iTunes Store or at our website. If you like us, rate us and leave us a review on iTunes. It's always appreciated. You could contact us with show suggestions, questions for the host, or leave a comment at our podcast website. Look for new episodes every first and third Tuesday of each month.